content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Present your case to our experts by calling in between 12:30 and 1 on Sundays. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now your host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Hope you all have had are satisfied with your bargain hunting. And once again, on behalf of everyone in the Focus on Females family, we wish you a happy and healthy holiday season. And please know, as always, we stand ready to help you break through your own personal healthcare and medical maze. As you know, this radio healthcare clinic is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive health safety net with immediate impact to save lives and protect families. We hope to make you a lay medical expert on your medical problems using an interactive, dynamic educational approach. Programs such as this radio program, as well as our annual healthcare symposium. This radio program now, we've had approximately 10 shows, and we've covered topics wide-ranging such as migraines and headaches, menopause, nutrition and cancer prevention, allergy, bladder incontinence, multiple sclerosis, fibromyalgia, hypertension, dry eye, osteoporosis, sleep disorders, Alzheimer's, and today cornea blindness and the newer, better transplant. Next week we'll be covering uterine fibroids, followed by what is causing my chest pain, and followed by sports medicine topics. So there's something for everybody here. If there's a topic we haven't yet covered or you don't see on our calendar on the website, please email me. You can email me and contact me through our website homepage. Please take advantage of that. The annual symposium is upcoming. Before long, it'll be here. It's scheduled for March 21st at the Tampa Convention Center. It is absolutely free. We feature this year actually close to 20 different medical topics. The 16 topics that we had last year, we'll have again, plus additional topics, let me back up and mention the 16 topics we had last year, which we will again have this year: cardiac disease, colon cancer, cervical, ovarian, and uterine cancer, nutrition and cancer prevention, migraines and headaches, fertility, menopause, bladder incontinence, osteoporosis, sleep disorders, breast cancer, reversing dry eye, skin cancer, diabetes, allergy, and we're adding raising your adolescent child. There'll be other topics we'll also be adding, including sponsor talks on cosmetic surgery, as well as anti-aging, all free. In addition to those topics, we will have fitness classes, introductory fitness classes, in case you want to get back into shape after the new year and the holiday season. We'll have resistance training, circuit training, kickboxing, tai chi, yoga, Zumba aerobics, stretching, and Pilates. And again, this is something you can observe or you can participate. The idea, again, is to give you the information and knowledge to take advantage and make the most of yourself. Okay, and so today, the topic is reversible blindness. Now, we'll be talking about reversible blindness and more specifically cornea blindness and what is being done today, what's available today to make this procedure really of great momentous occasion in that the new approach is significantly better than the old approach. This is a milestone type of difference in the quality of the rehabilitation and the quality of vision and as well as safety. And we'll get into more about that. There will be some patients on the line today as my guests. But again, if you have a question on anything that's being discussed, whether from just a understanding standpoint or a question about anything that we're talking about, feel free to call in and participate. Now, reversible blindness. It's important to understand that vision is what I like to term a layered phenomena, meaning that there are several parts of the eye that have to function. And of course, the brain has to be able to receive the information that comes from the eye. But reversible blindness can occur at the level of the tear film. If your eye is too dry, you can actually become blind. If your cornea is scarred, or if it is irregular or swollen, you can lose your sight and become legally blind. Also, a cataract. If you develop a cataract, which is significant, you can become legally blind from those three conditions of the eye. Each of those conditions are at a different level of the eye if you looked at a profile of an eye. The things that can occur or damage an eye, which is irreversible, are diseases that affect the back of the eye, which is the retina and the optic nerve. So reversible blindness are disorders or diseases that affect the front of the eye. We can literally reconstruct the front of the eye and restore someone's vision as long as the back of the eye, the retina, and the optic nerve is still healthy, and of course the brain, that the part of the brain that receives the signals from the eye. So vision is a layered phenomenon. In fact, I've had patients with macular degeneration who were felt to be, well, who were legally blind, and it was felt that nothing could be done for these people. They found their way to see me, and it turns out that a part of their visual loss was from dry eye, extreme dry eye. And simply by treating that as well as other related disorders in the surface of the eye, I was able to improve their vision to 2200 level. They had been count fingers, meaning that they couldn't take care of themselves. But now with 2200 vision, they could take care of themselves. They can feed themselves. They can use the restroom. They could dress themselves and really be a participant in life. And, of course, this is a major breakthrough for not just the individual but also their family. And over the years, I would say I've accumulated approximately 10 of these patients. So it's important always to make sure that if you have visual loss yourself or your family or loved one, make sure that there is no piece of that visual loss that is reversible. It would be a shame to not take advantage of all the technology and the understandings we have today. You must go ahead and reverse that part of your visual loss, which is reversible. Now, getting back to cornea blindness, we said already that there are three major areas of cornea blindness. One is when the cornea becomes irregularly shaped. You may have heard of the diagnosis of keratoconus. Normally, the cornea is round. The cornea, I should back up and say, is about a dime-sized piece of tissue which vaults over the colored part of the eye, the colored part of the eye being the iris and pupil, for that matter, which is the dark black part of the eye in the middle of the colored part of the eye. So when the cornea normally vaults over this colored part of the eye and is rounded, when it becomes conical or a cone, as it happens in certain diseases such as keratoconus, then the vision can become distorted and a person can become legally blind. And later in the show, I'll share with you a very interesting case of a young lady who was in her teen years when she became legally blind and what became of that situation. The other type of cornea blindness occurs from scarring of the cornea. And the third type of cornea blindness, which I'd like to spend more time talking about today, is when the cornea swells. And this frequently happens after cataract surgery, or I should say it can happen after cataract surgery, as well as in inherited diseases such as Fuchs, F-U-C-H-S, Fuchs cornea dystrophy. And the if you don't repair, or if the cornea is swollen and it's not repaired, then up to 5 to 10% of these cases per year will get infected. And depending upon the nature of the infection, the severity of the infection, the bacteria as well as your defense against that bacteria will create such inflammation it can actually melt through and perforate that cornea with potential permanent loss of the eye. So it's important that if your eye is swollen, that it, I should say, if your cornea is swollen, it get taken care of. There are different approaches to managing that. Of course, if you want to have your vision restored, then the answer is a cornea transplant. And in these diseases, the reason why the cornea gets swollen is because the lining of the cornea, the inner lining of the cornea, which is about a 20th of the full thickness of the cornea. And mind you, the cornea itself is about half a millimeter, so it's very thin to begin with. So the lining becomes non-functional. And what the lining itself consists of cells, individual cells, which have little pumps in there, and they pump fluid back into the eye. So inside the eye, there's a pressure, and that pressure pushes fluid into the cornea, and that's important because that fluid entering the cornea will help provide nutrients for the cornea. However, it's important too that the water gets pumped back into the eye, and that's what these cells do. If those cells no longer function, which occur in diseases such as Fuchs dystrophy, then the water accumulates and the cornea thickens, and with that, vision deteriorates. So, what have we been doing in the case of cornea swelling to rehabilitate vision, so-called reversible corneal blindness? Well, traditionally, we perform a corneal transplant if therapy such as hypertonic saline, which is a high concentration of salt applied as a topical drop, does not work. And what the hypertonic saline does is to help draw fluid from inside the cornea out into the tear film to try and reduce some of that swelling. But that therapy is minimal and limited. So when the cornea swells beyond the capability of hypertonic saline to work, then we talk about corneal transplants. Now, the traditional cornea transplant uses a cookie cutter type of blade, which is and round, and actually removes the entire thickness of the cornea. And that's been done for decades with great success. However, the new therapy is a milestone in that it only replaces that lining of cells which are no longer functioning. It doesn't replace the full thickness, only the lining of cells. Therefore, the cornea remains stronger and the wound itself is smaller. There's actually no stitches holding that new lining in place, whereas the old traditional cornea has at least 16-24 sutures holding the cornea in place. So what we want to do when we come back from a quick break is to discuss with some patients who have had the corneal transplant and discuss their experiences. We'll be right back on the Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Are you one of the many folks who suffer from dry eye? Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but dry eye is something you'll have to live with or nothing can be done for you? Well, don't stand for that answer anymore just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems. Go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you'll be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with the doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain and redness. Plus, begin targeted therapy right away. The Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, 3001 Swan Avenue in Tampa. Find them online at drmaskin.com. Haven't you waited long enough?
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And we were talking about reversible blindness and specifically cornea disease. And on the line is Rick. Rick from Tampa. Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thanks, Dr. Maskin. When I heard about the topic of today's show on reversible blindness, I decided to call into the show. Actually, this is the first time I've called into a talk radio show, so I don't do this, I haven't done this at all, but I've had some experience through my aunt, through caring for my aunt, who's now 97 years old and has been a patient of yours for over 18 years. In fact, I think she was one of your first patients when you first came to Tampa.
That's right, 1991 we started.
And my aunt was having some problems with her cornea at that time, just in one eye at the time, and You performed the first transplant that you did on her that you described earlier, the more typical ones, and she was able to regain her visual acuity in that eye, and that transplant lasted many years. Another one was actually performed. You actually performed on that same eye later, and then over the years we had problems and procedures to that. Were used to address them on both of her eyes, and I think in talking with some of your listeners, one of the important keys to her success was that as you were able to identify problems as they were occurring, it seemed, we were able to act on them in a more timely way, not waiting for things to get worse.
The patient you're referring to is Angie, correct?
Yes.
She's now
97 years old.
Correct, wonderful woman, and you are quite special too, because I know how attentive you are to her needs, and it's wonderful to see, because there's so much that can be done for people, really, no matter what their age. When they do have reversible and treatable disease, we ought to take care of these folks and really enable them to maximize their joy, as well as the joy of the family, to have them as an active participant.
and she very much wanted that for herself as well. And remember, each time you talked to her about different procedures or different surgeries that you thought would help her, she was ready to go and wanted it, and things that would enable her to see better, so she would have as good a quality of life.
Now, wasn't she a school teacher?
For 46 years, as she will tell anyone who wants to listen to her story. And then after she retired, she volunteered for another 20 years at a private school. So she's had a long background in education. And, of course, her sight was very important to her and an important part of that. So
now, she had the second transplant in the right eye. Was the second transplant the new transplant that I started talking about?
That's correct. It was really important to use that new approach with her because as she was getting up in her age, I mean, at this time she was in her 90s when you operated on her, this procedure was so much less invasive and the recovery time was much shorter than the ones that you had done earlier.
Now, the traditional transplant takes about a year or even 2 years to really obtain the best quality vision, and oftentimes patients, although we try and prescribe glasses, but sometimes the glasses do not neutralize all the astigmatism that is created when you do the type of corneal transplant, the traditional corneal transplant, which is like a cookie cutter with 12 clock hours, and which creates astigmatism or irregularity in the cornea. So the cornea is shaped more, let's say, like a football than a basketball. So the traditional transplant will take a prolonged period of time, a year, 2 years, to get the best vision. Whereas the new transplant, I've had patients with the new transplant have quality vision to see, to drive a car, that is, in weeks. Do you remember?
Well, that's what was her case. It was amazing to us. My sister and my wife and our family were amazed at how quickly she was able to see, like 20/40 and 20/25 out of that eye in a matter of weeks after that surgery, where before we waited, for, like you said, close to a year or more in the earlier procedures. So what's been, equally important to us is the difference that we see in her quality of life that she enjoys every day. Mm-hmm. Because at 97 now, she's alert, very self-confident. She easily will engage you in conversation, particularly if you want to talk about her teaching experience. And she's very outgoing and gregarious. And we have periodically have occasions to get together with family and friends, and they often comment to me about how remarkable she is and how much fun she is to be around. And I think I may have told you one time about my sister taking her out recently during the holidays to some friends and families for get-togethers. Right. And how amazed my sister was and called me and said, it's unbelievable, she can read everything. She was reading signs and street signs and advertising and just jabbering with her all afternoon long.
It's a wonderful thing to see people have their sight restored and to be a significant participant in the family activities. Now, I also remember that her other eye, it turns out that maintaining, going back to a comment you made earlier, when problems develop with your eyes, it's important to maintain and reverse those problems because you never know what's going to happen. Didn't something happen to her left eye,
her
fellow eye?
We found out through consultations with a neuro-ophthalmologist that she apparently experienced a stroke, which damaged the optic nerve in her left eye.
So that was the fellow eye. So it turns out that the fact that as her traditional cornea transplant, which was done over a decade ago, ultimately failed or was rejected, then it was critically important to go ahead and do the new procedure. We will be coming right back to talk to more with Rick about a wonderful case of the new corneal transplant and how it reversed blindness right here on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Your choice for intelligent talk. Bennett, Gallagher, Prager, Medved, Hewitt. Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
With SRN News, I am Michael Harrington in Washington. Crowds of people are fleeing Gaza by escaping into Egypt today, breaching a border wall with the help of a bulldozer as Israeli warplanes continue one of Israel's deadliest assaults ever against Palestinian terrorists. It all began with terrorists sending rockets into Israel, as they continue to do at this hour. They are believed to be members of the Hamas terrorist organization, and Israel striking against them in a variety of different ways. Reservists in Israel being called up, there is the thinking that a ground offensive could be starting before too much longer there. Some roads in Missouri are flooded, similar conditions expected in other parts of the Midwest. Runoff from heavy rain and rapidly melting snowpack is sending streams and rivers higher in unseasonably warm temperatures. The middle class needs more money in its pockets to help get the economy going again. That's the thinking of one of Barack Obama's top advisors. David Axelrod tells NBC that there will be a tax cut under Mr. Obama. This is SRN News.
The auto industry shouldn't get a blank check.
Right now, this is up in the air.
Until they show us the plan, we cannot show them the money.
America's economic crisis deepens. Banks, insurance companies, automakers all face new challenges.
Unemployment rises.
Now, more than ever, you need intelligent, thoughtful information and answers to tough questions.
Which source of already appropriated funds will be used?
Now, more than ever, Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Let's face it. We can't all be rock stars. So it might be time to consider some options. There are dozens of career training opportunities at PTEC. Find out how affordable and convenient success can be. Not to mention all the money you'll save on guitar and singing lessons.
Man, I stink.
MyPTEC.org. The job you want, the success you deserve.
Your host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. Dr. Maskin manages these dry eye disorders using innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has been successfully managing difficult dry eye cases for over 18 years and is board certified, fellowship trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and the American Academy of Ophthalmology. He's been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2008 and as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America. We hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please visit drmaskin.com. And if you've not found relief for your painful red, dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Rick, are you still with me?
Yes, I am, Dr. Maskin.
Okay, well, let's summarize here. one thing I wanted to emphasize is if your corneas are swollen, take care of it. In other words, if you're a sighted person, or if you, that is to say, if you have the potential to see, go ahead and get your sight back. Even if the other eye, the fellow eye, is still well-sighted, because you don't know if that well-sighted eye one day in the future will get a stroke, as Angie did, or whether it will maintain a healthy eye for the rest of your life. You just don't know. And additionally, if you do ignore the swelling of the cornea, it can get infected. And even and with infection comes potential for scarring. And if the cornea is scarred, then the new procedure is not as effective. As, in other words, at that point in time, you may need the traditional corneal transplant, because scarring of the cornea is such that the tissue overlying that lining membrane, those lines under the cells lining the cornea, are scarred and opacified. So this, by replacing that lining tissue, is not going to remove the scar. Bottom line is to go ahead and move forward and take care of the problem, so you maximize your vision and your sight and your well-being. What summary would you offer at this point for the listeners?
A couple of the lessons we've learned in this 18 journey with my aunt is, as you stated, address the problems as they occur, and the chances of success are much greater. Plus, keeping one eye in reserve, as it were, if something should go wrong with the other eye. And don't buy into those who might advocate that, well, she's in her 80s and 90s, you know, there's not much more you can do for them and that kind of thing. My experience with my aunt, what she's taught me is, you know, live life to its fullest, and part of that is to maintain your eyesight as optimally as it can be maintained, so you can live a long, vibrant life. Good sight, I find with her particularly, you know, is just vital to her emotional and as well as her physical well-being. And once she's feeling good about herself, and she's feeling good when she can see out of that eye clearly, then she feels good about herself, and she feels good to be around other people, and she doesn't become isolated or depressed, and she's eating well, she's fun to be around. It just has given her a wonderful quality of life, and we're very grateful to all of that, to you for all of that.
Well, Rick, I want to personally thank you in calling in and sharing the story, your story, Angie's story, and we hope it makes a difference in somebody's life out there listening. Thanks very much, and happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you, Dr. Maskin. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. A couple of the points that Rick made are very important, and we have a couple other others on the phone now, but hopefully we'll have time to come back and talk about some of the things that Rick mentioned about the emotional outlook on the patient when you have your vision restored, especially in the elderly, with that sensory deprivation that will affect their outlook, their disposition, creating depression, and sometimes can even present and appear like they're an Alzheimer's patient. There's so many things so many changes that will occur as you restore sensory stimuli, visual stimuli to these patients. We cannot forget them. I want to go to, I want to go to John. John's a patient of mine. John, are you with me? You're here in Tampa. Are you with me? Okay, John, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. John's a patient of mine who, I believe you're in your 60s, is that correct?
Correct.
And you had the new type of corneal transplant, so you don't have the old type of transplant to compare to, but let me just say that your left eye was legally blind when you came in for help.
Right. I believe I was 2200 when I came in. I was sent over by Dr. Petito here in St. Petersburg, and in my left eye, I was 2200. My right eye at that time was not that bad.
Right. And what can you say about the experience for example, as far as what you went through, how the rapidity of your visual recovery, what kind of memories do you have?
Well, they're all good. I can remember sitting in your office. It was probably a week after the transplant was done and the follow-up and that kind of thing. I remember you saying to your nurse that this is absolutely amazing. And I forget what my vision was, but I could see fairly well then. And, of course, you know, amazing to me didn't mean anything because I had nothing to compare it with. So, you know, being dumb and happy, I just thought that was the way it all went.
Now, as it turns out that, and I had, because I knew you, you know, we talked about calling in and sharing your experience with listeners.
Right.
So it turns out that you were seeing 20/60 in your first week and 20/40. Now, mind you, this is without glasses. This
right,
is without correction.
Exactly. Without correction at all.
At all.
And I had been like 20/200. It was cloudy. I had pain every now and then. So it was absolutely unbelievable.
And by 3 weeks out, you were seeing 20/40. And
right.
I've got here, let's see, well, within a couple months, you're at 20/25, again,
right.
Without correction. And I guess it turned out that it was well-timed because at some point your right eye started to deteriorate.
Yeah, my right eye started to deteriorate about, I think, about 2 months after we did the surgery on my left eye. And I had the right eye done in April. And we came back and did the left eye done in April, and the right eye we came back and did in December, which evidently is fairly quick to come back and do the other one.
That's right, and that's another good point. Traditionally, the corneal transplant, because it's a prolonged recovery, a year, 2 years, usually wait until the first eye that was operated on is recovered
mm-hmm.
before going ahead with the second eye.
Right.
So because of the rapidity of rehabilitation, then we can frequently do these surgeries on the two eyes really within a month of each other and get, you know, someone completely back on their feet, back to excellent vision, driving vision and better.
Well, right, and that was very important to me. I'm a retired driver ed teacher. I wasn't, of course, doing that at the time, but
right.
I was to the point where I was driving and had a real difficult time reading signs and that kind of thing, and my wife had to help me with that kind of thing, and eventually got to the point where I just couldn't drive at night, and she had to drive me around. So
of course, you being a former driver's ed teacher, you were particularly
yeah.
critical about your what
exactly.
you could or couldn't see.
Exactly.
Well, he was a challenging passenger for the driver.
That's my wife. I'm not a good passenger.
You had to keep him in line, yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, another thing, the procedure, as far as I remember it, was absolutely painless to me.
Right.
You know, I came back and I think I wore a patch for a couple of days and things like that. But other than that, it was it was unbelievable.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and typically, you really, if you were to wear glasses during the day, then you don't need to wear a patch. You just wear a patch while you're sleeping.
Oh, I see. Okay, maybe. No, I didn't wear glasses at that time. So,
but. Well, that's outstanding. Ma'am, do you have any other comments to make about your husband's transformation now that he can see?
Well, he's just going from being dependent to independence. I mean, now he can do everything by himself. I mean, we don't have to look for a magnifying glass
right.
and figure out where he left it last time so that he can read the newspaper. He just can do everything.
Excellent. John, any last comments?
No, I'm just appreciative of the new surgery, although I'm not familiar with the old, but
right.
it sure does sound like a vast improvement.
Thank you very much, both of you, and have happy holidays, and
okay.
speak to you
happy
again.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. On the line is Virginia. Virginia, you're on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic with Steve Maskin. Can
yes.
you? Good day.
How are you?
Good. Well, Virginia, let me introduce you by saying that and you're in your 70s?
I'm almost 80, Dr. Maskin.
Okay.
The time has flown.
Okay. When we started working with you, perhaps it was in the 70s.
Yeah, it's been 14 years.
And you've had the traditional transplants on both eyes at
yes.
first. And then the right eye developed macular degeneration.
Yes.
And went legally blind, completely blind.
Yes.
But then the left eye, which you had been relying upon, then started having difficulty as the cornea, after so old, combination of failure, rejection, and so forth. It just started swelling, and the vision was going bad. And actually, you became legally blind in that left eye as well. So
yes, it was actually done in 2000, so it was 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of them was 14 years old, and the other one was 8 years old. And the new surgery is just, no, I don't think anybody can pronounce it. DSAC, D-S-A-E-K.
DSAC.
Oh, gosh. It's just night and day in comparison with the old one, where the old one was like, a year for recuperation. As a matter of fact, the old one, I had forgotten how long it was till you went back and reminded me of how long it took for it to recuperate.
Right.
But the vision, it's so amazing to I always sit down on my front deck and read the paper, and to close your eyes before you've had the surgery and close your eyes and then open them when you've had the surgery and see the difference in the color of everything. Everything was sort of gray before, and now it's bright and green. And the size of things, like your trees and things, everything, you just appreciate everything that you look at so much more.
Well, you're in a particularly difficult situation because the right eye, because
doing
of
its macular, yes,
macular degeneration, and the only eye you had really potential or reversible
yes,
blindness was the left eye. And with the old cornea transplant having failed, you were legally blind in both eyes.
Yes.
And so what you needed was a rapid transplant or a procedure, not like the old transplant, which took a year or more
yes,
to rehabilitate, but a procedure which could rapidly give you your vision back.
Yes.
And within 6 weeks, you were seeing 20/30.
Yes. Isn't that wonderful?
Outstanding.
And I don't use, I got reading glasses, but I don't use them at all. I use glasses to drive, and I go in February for my driver's test, and I really feel confident. I'm not a bit worried about it.
Well, one other point I want to make about the new transplant, approximately 10% of these transplants, the lining tissue, which is being replaced, has to, again, stick to the old cornea. And about 10% of the time, it doesn't stick well. Now, in your case, because we were trying to stick it or adhere it to an old full thickness transplant, it required us to actually put a few stitches
in there.
Oh, yes,
yes.
We put a few stitches in there to hold it in place just for maybe a day or so, and then we were able to take them out. And that's kind of an adaptation that I started to do when I saw that there are certain cases that the tissue does not adhere well. And I can tell you that I've not yet had a patient where I could not get a successful outcome with this new technique. So even though those 10% may not adhere well, that there is a way I can go back in and we can get that tissue to adhere successfully so the patient can have the outstanding outcome.
And, one of the people that you were talking to before said there was no pain, and that was the thing with me. I am such a coward. There was no pain with either surgery.
Outstanding.
It just really, and like I say, I'm just so impatient that a week recuperation, just sounded awful, but, it went so fast, and it was so much worth it.
Well, thanks very much, Virginia. Thanks for calling in and sharing your experience, and have a happy holiday season.
Thank you so much.
Okay, and Ed, are you on the line? Ed from Tampa? Okay. Ed, if you can hear me, you're on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Are you there?
Oh, I'm here, yeah.
Okay. Ed, we're going to take a quick break now and come right back and share your story. Now, you had only the traditional corneal transplants. We want to talk about the difference between what we've just heard and your experience. We'll be right back on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Confused about dry eye? Not getting answers as to why your eyes are so red and painful and your blurry vision that gets a little better with a good blink? Now you can learn all about dry eye, the causes, treatments, and home remedies from the number one best-selling consumer book on dry eye problems, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome by Dr. Stephen Maskin. Published by Yale University Press, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome has been selected as a 2008 Best Book of the Year by the Association of American University Presses and a 2007 Best Consumer Health Book by Library Journal. Find answers for your dry eye. Go to your bookstore and pick up a copy of Reversing Dry Eye. You'll be glad you did.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Ed, if you're with me still. Ed, can you hear me? All right. Well, let me just, while we're getting Ed back on the line, let me introduce. Ed's situation is a little different than the earlier callers. Ed's in his 70s, and he has the kind of cornea disease that you could not even consider doing the new transplant on because he has a hazing of the overlying tissue. His problem is not the lining tissue of the cornea, it's the overlying tissue. So when his vision became disrupted, Ed needed a full-thickness traditional corneal transplant. And so back in 05, we did the full-thickness corneal transplant. And as we continue to try and get Ed on the line.
Yeah.
Okay, Ed, can you hear me?
Yes, I
okay.
Very well.
So I'm introducing your case, basically, how you were not a candidate for the new transplant, and rather we had to do the traditional full-thickness transplant, and we did so in the left eye as its vision started to deteriorate in March of 05. And in fact, as is typical for the traditional transplants, by June of 06, you were seeing 20/25 with some fluctuation to 20/40. So about 14 months or so, 14 to 15 months, you were seeing quite well. But then something happened in March of 08. Would you like to share that?
March of 08, I was coming up the stairs from my lower level of my house, and when I got to the top of the stairs, I was carrying a full bottle of wine, but in my right hand. So when I got to the top of the stairs, I caught my toe on the step, and I launched myself forward onto the floor. And instinctively, I tried to break my fall with my right arm, forgetting that I had that bottle of wine in my hand. And so I lined it up almost perfectly with my left eye.
Right.
So when I hit on the top of the bottle with my left eye, it caused a great amount of damage.
And what happened was the trauma to the eye completely ruptured open the wound. And again, the old corneal transplant wound is fairly large. It's like a cookie cutter, so it's a full clock face, 12 clock hours, on the face of the front, the face of the eye, the front of the eye, the cornea, and that large wound is not quite, you know, it's never as strong as the original tissue.
Yeah.
And so it did rupture open, and Ed's vision went down all the way down from 20/25 down to hand movement, which basically mean it was a non-functional eye at that time. So here he was back at square one, actually worse than square one, because now he had this trauma, and your doctor sent you down to Tampa so I could go ahead and simply close the eye. You remember that trip?
Yes, I certainly do. Yeah, it was rather traumatic because I knew I had had a great amount of damage, not to mention the fact that a lot of the wine flew up in the eye when I hit. Mm-hmm. And so after I washed that wine out of my eye, I went immediately to my local ophthalmologist. And he took one look, and he said that he's going to have to send me immediately to Dr. Maskin. So about an hour or so later, I arrived at Dr. Maskin's office, and he thought that I would require immediate surgery to correct the damage that it had done.
And at that point, we just wanted to close the eye because the eye was ruptured open.
Oh, yeah.
And we basically closed it, and we basically followed it. I sent you to a retina doctor to be sure that the retina was still attached and no damage to the back of the eye. And fortunately, there was none. So then it became a waiting game. We had to wait and wait.
Yeah.
And it took almost 3.5 months to get to the point where we could operate again to restore vision. And
yes.
So basically, you know, this shows, and again, so fortunately, we were able to restore your vision. But it shows, again, the weakness, the intrinsic weakness of the traditional transplant. The new transplant is only, as compared to the full clock hour, with the traditional transplant, the new transplant is perhaps only 2 clock hours, a very, very small wound. Therefore, it's a much stronger eyeball after the surgery, as well as the other advantages we talked about already, quicker rehabilitation. Ed, we're almost actually out of time. What any points you want to share at this point in summarizing your case, or anything you want to get across to the listeners other than what we've touched on already?
Well, in the first place, I want to say that I have total confidence in Dr. Maskin's ability. I mean, he went in there and he operated, and the operation was without pain. And after the operation, it took a while. It's still taking time for me to get vision back. I do have vision in that eye. I can look across our canal here, and I can see houses on the opposite side, but they're not in very good focus.
Right.
So,
well, Ed, I want to thank you for being on the show today and sharing your perspective and hanging in there. And I hope you and your family and loved ones have a wonderful holiday season.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ed.
I'm happy that I was able to share in this and help.
Thanks, Ed, very much.
You bet.
Okay. We only have a couple minutes left. I originally had another guest on who had another example of reversible cornea blindness, but I think the best thing to do at this point, because with limited time, is to revisit his case at another date. It's actually a chemical injury case where the cornea completely became opacified. One eye became completely opacified. The other eye was a lazy eye to begin with. And again, the ability to now restore vision to an eye that's been so devastated, I think, requires more time. So what I'm going to do now is just share another very interesting case of a teenager who progressively lost vision and the emotional impact on that woman. As she became legally blind in her teens, she didn't, you know, people started looking or speaking to her, but she, being legally blind, did not realize they were talking to her. So, of course, she did not respond. Ultimately, people just stopped talking to her. So she became withdrawn, feeling that other people don't like her, that so her self-esteem was affected. And I tell you what, we are really out of time, and I don't have enough time now to continue the story. But it's an amazing story, and we'll have another opportunity on a later show for everyone at the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare family. We wish you a happy and healthy holiday season. And we'll see you next week when the topic will be uterine fibroids next week on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Have a great week. Focus.